Well, then, my boy, while existing as a physician among the beings breeding in the towns of Turkestan, I had to work so hard, especially toward the end of my stay there, that certain functions of my planetary body began to get out of order. So I started to consider how I might give up my activities, at least for a while, and do nothing but rest. I could, of course, have gone home to the planet Mars for this purpose, but there arose before me my own individual being, Dimsoniro, that is, my being duty toward the essence word I had given myself. And the essence word I had given myself at the beginning of my sixth descent was to exist among your favorites until I had finally made clear to my reason all the causes of the gradual formation in their common presence of that exceptionally strange being psyche. And as I had not yet fulfilled this essence word I had given myself, not having had time to learn all the details needed for a full elucidation of the problem, I considered a return to the planet Mars premature. But to remain in Turkestan and organize my existence in such a way as to give my planetary body the required rest was not possible, because in almost all the beings breeding on that part of the surface of your planet, both in Chinese and in Russian Turkestan, there had already been crystallized, either through personal perceptions or from descriptions of others, data for recognizing my appearance. And by now, each of the ordinary beings of this country wished to speak with me, either about himself or someone close to him, regarding one of those pernicious vices and the means of deliverance from it, means in which I happened to become such an unparalleled specialist. What I then devised and carried out to escape from this situation had the result that Turkestan, concerning which data for pleasant memories were fixed and will always be preserved in my common presence, ceased to be my permanent place of existence on your planet during this last stay of mine. And thereafter, the cities of their famous Europe, with their cafes serving a black liquid made of nobody knows what, replaced the towns of Turkestan with their chakhanas and their delicious, fragrant teas. I decided to go to the country on the continent of Africa, which is called Egypt. I chose this country of Egypt because it was, at that period, an ideal place for resting. And many three-brain beings who were well off, as they say, went there for that purpose from all the other continents. On my arrival, I settled down in the city called Cairo, and very soon organized the external form of my ordinary existence so as to have the rest needed by my planetary body after those intense and strenuous labors of mine. Do you remember my telling you that I went to Egypt for the first time during my fourth descent to the surface of your planet? In order to collect, with the help of several beings of our tribe existing in that country, a certain number of those accidentally arisen misconceptions called apes. I also told you that I inspected many unusual works of architecture there, among them that original observatory for the study of cosmic concentrations, which had greatly interested me. By the time of my sixth descent, scarcely anything remained of all the numerous interesting constructions of the past. They had either been destroyed by the beings themselves during their wars and revolutions, or had been covered over by sands. These sands were a consequence partly of the great winds I have already mentioned, and partly of a planetary tremor, which was later called by the beings of Egypt the Elnepusian earthquake. During this planetary tremor, an island, then called Siapura, situated to the north of a still-existing island named Cyprus, gradually, over a period of 5 terrestrial years, sank into the planet in a very peculiar way. And while this process lasted, there proceeded in the surrounding great Salyakuropnian space extraordinary what are called low and high tides, as a result of which a great deal of sand from beneath the Salyakuria rose to the surface of this terra firma and mingled with sands of the already mentioned origin. But do you know, my boy, while I've been telling you all this about Egypt, it has gradually dawned on me, and my whole being has finally become aware, that I committed an unpardonable error in the course of my tales about the three-brained beings breeding on the planet Earth. Do you remember I once told you that not one of the achievements of the beings of past generations had ever reached the beings of subsequent generations? Well, about this, I'm now aware that I made a mistake. During my preceding tales about these beings who have taken your fancy, not once was there recalled in my being associations an event that took place just the day before my final flight from the surface of that planet, and which proved that, after all, something did reach even your contemporary favorites from the achievements of the beings of the remote past. The emanations of joy that arose in me at the moment of my pardon by our omnipotent, all-just Creator Endlessness, and from his gracious permission to return to the bosom of my first arising, must have prevented me from absorbing that impression with enough intensity to bring about the complete crystallization in the corresponding parts of my common whole of the data that can engender in beings during being associations evoked by manifestations of the same source a repetition of what has previously been experienced. But just now, as I was speaking of this contemporary Egypt and pictures of certain localities that had pleased me on that part of your planet were revived before my being sight, the faint impressions I had retained of this event gradually became coated into a definite awareness and came back clearly to my memory. Before telling you about this event, which can only be described as deeply tragic, and to give you a clearer representation of it, I must speak again about the three-brained beings of the continent of Atlantis who had founded the Learned Society under the name of Akhaldan. Certain members of this society, who already had some ideas of the sacred, omnipresent Okidanoch, discovered, by persistent labors, how to obtain from their own atmosphere, and also from certain surplanetary formations, each of its holy parts separately, and how these sacred, cosmic, force-bearing substances, when kept in a concentrated form, could be useful to them for their scientific experiments. The learned members of this great society also discovered, among other things, that by means of the separately localized third part of the omnipresent Okidanoch, namely the sacred neutralizing force, or force of reconciling, they were able to bring a planetary organic formation of any kind into such a state that its presence would conserve forever all the active elements contained in it at the given moment. In other words, they could suspend and even completely stop its inevitable, what is called, decay. The knowledge of the power to accomplish this passed by inheritance to certain beings of Egypt, namely those initiated beings who were the direct descendants of the learned members of the Akhaldans. Well then, many centuries after the loss of Atlantis, beings of this Egypt, starting from the knowledge that had reached them, succeeded in preserving the planetary bodies of certain of them forever, again by means of the holy neutralizing force of the sacred Okidanoch, in a non-decaying and non-decomposing state after the sacred Roscoarno, or as they say there, after their death. To be sure, by the time of my sixth visit to that planet, all the beings and everything that had been in this Egypt during my former visit had entirely ceased to exist, and not even the slightest notion of any of this knowledge remained, but the planetary bodies to which they had applied the aforementioned means were still intact, and exist there even up to the present. And contemporary beings call these surviving planetary bodies mummies. The transformation of planetary bodies into mummies was accomplished by the beings of Egypt very simply. They kept the body destined to this purpose for about half a month in what they called castor oil. And later, they introduced into it the sacred substance force dissolved in a corresponding way. Well, my boy, according to the research and investigations of one of our countrymen who exists there to this day, and about which I was informed by etherogram after my final departure from your planet, it appears that just when a process of reciprocal destruction began between the beings of this Egypt and those of a neighboring community, the existence of one of their pharaohs came to an end. Now the beings whose business it was to preserve forever the bodies of meritorious beings were unable, owing to the approach of the enemy, to keep the planetary body of this pharaoh in castor oil as long as was necessary, that is, for half a month. Nevertheless, they put this body into castor oil, then placed it in a hermetically sealed chamber, and having dissolved the aforesaid sacred substance force in a certain way, they introduced it into the chamber also, in order to obtain the desired result. It transpired that this sacred force, effectively accomplishing what they had expected, was preserved in this hermetically sealed chamber, and as always, takes place from the action of what are called catalysts, remained in its integral state until quite recently. This sacred something would have remained in its pristine state for untold centuries among these three-brained beings who have long ago ceased to have any reverence in their essence. But since in the presence of these contemporary unconscious desecrators, a criminal passion has arisen, evoking in them a need to despoil the resting place even of holy beings of past generations, they dug down into this chamber, which ought to have been for them a profoundly revered sanctuary. And thus they committed that sacrilege, the result of which caused me to become aware with the whole of my being of my mistake. The mistake I made when I so confidently assured you that nothing whatever had reached the beings of contemporary civilization from the beings of long past epochs. For this event, which has recently occurred in Egypt, is indeed a consequence of the results attained by those ancient ancestors of theirs who used to exist on the continent of Atlantis. This result of the scientific attainments of the beings of long past epochs reached contemporary beings and became their possession for the following reason. Perhaps, my dear Hassin, you already know, as do all the responsible beings of our great universe, whatever their degree of being intelligence, even those who are still in the second half of their preparation for responsible age, that the essence of the presence of the planetary body, of every being, as of every relatively independent cosmic unit, great or small, must consist of all three sacred substance forces of the Holy Triamasicamno, that is, the forces of the Holy Affirming, Holy Denying, and Holy Reconciling, and must constantly maintain them in a corresponding and balanced state. And if, for some reason or other, an excess of the vibrations of one of these three sacred forces enters into any presence, then infallibly and unconditionally the sacred rescuano must occur to it, that is, the total destruction of its ordinary existence. Well, my boy, on account of this criminal need to despoil the sanctuaries of their ancestors, which, as I've already told you, had arisen in the presence of your contemporary favorites, Certain of them committed the outrage of breaking into the hermetically sealed chamber. Then the sacred substance force of the Holy Reconciling, existing separately in that place, not having sufficient time to blend with the space, entered into the presence of these beings and manifested the property inherent in it according to law. I shall say nothing at this point about how the psyche of the three-brained beings breeding on this part of the terra firma surface of your planet degenerated and in what form it came to be molded. Perhaps sometime later in its proper place I shall explain this to you also. Meanwhile, let us return to our interrupted theme. The program of my external existence while in Egypt included, among other things, the practice of taking a walk every morning in the direction of what are known as the pyramids and the Sphinx. The pyramids and Sphinx were the sole pitiful remnants that chanced to survive from those majestic works of art erected by the descendants of the most great Akhaldans and by the great ancestors of the beings of this Egypt, the building of which I had witnessed with my own eyes during my fourth sojourn on your planet. But I failed to have a thorough rest in Egypt, since circumstances soon obliged me to leave. And strictly speaking, the circumstances that led to my departure were the reason why the towns of dear Turkestan, with their pleasant chaykhanas, were replaced, as I've already told you, by the cities of their famous contemporary center of culture, the continent of Europe, with its no less famous café restaurants, in which, instead of fragrant teas, they serve you a black liquid consisting of nobody knows what.